morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important, fastest growing, and now largest segment of society. To those that know that the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, rotten to the core, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. And that would be all of them, not just some of them. Our phone number, if you would like to engage in this conversation, is 877-376-45. Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Syria, we just love the media does, this is from Reuters, to throw in Al-Qaeda whenever we can. It's something we've discussed often on this program, that Al-Qaeda has never been relevant. They have always been a symptom of Islam and a insignificant symptom of Islam, even during their most important period, which is when they were working with the American CIA to fight a proxy war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. During that time, they were insignificant compared to even the Taliban, which we rented and empowered from Pakistan during that period. Since that time, they've been given a lot of credit, and vastly more credit than was ever due them. They do not have a philosophy. There is no Al-Qaeda ideology. They never had an independent philosophy or ideology. They were simply fundamentalist Sunni Muslims. But nonetheless, Al-Qaeda has been ingrained in the vernacular of American jurisprudence and politics, even the military. And so we like to indicate that we're at war with Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is a bad guy, to distinguish Al-Qaeda from the only thing that ever made Al-Qaeda known, and that is that they were fundamentalist Muslims. Well, it says Al-Qaeda's affiliates in Syria, and they certainly have the endorsement of Ayman al-Zawahiri, which is he's the last man standing in Al-Qaeda, and not much of a leader. He's not the least bit charismatic, not much of a fighter. He's an Egyptian, was part of the Egyptian al-Jihad, was engaged in some ruthless terrorist acts in Egypt against tourists, moved to Afghanistan and joined in the proxy war sponsored by the United States against the Soviet-backed government of Afghanistan. He has endorsed al-Nusra, but that is really the extent of it. But when I explained the other day that bombing the Islamic State and declaring war on the Islamic State would be counterproductive, this is the kind of thing that I was talking about. What has happened is exactly what was predictable, what I was certain was going to happen, which is the Islamic State has become vastly more popular, more powerful, more irresistible for Muslims. It has empowered them. And also, by bombing a small group of Nusra Front members, the so-called Khorasan group, the United States unified what was desperate. So all of that was predictable. It was suicidal by the United States, counterproductive. It goes right along with the fact that the United States lacks intelligence, that its CIA and NSA and National Security Advisors and NGIC, National Ground Intelligence Center, all lack intelligence. They're idiots. They have no understanding of Islam. And if you don't understand Islam, everything you do against Islam will be counterproductive. You have to understand the religion. You have to understand the mindset. And when you react to fundamentalist Muslims like the Islamic State and Nusra in a manner that is belligerent, in a manner that declares war on them, you empower them. You feed right into their rage, their arrogance. It's stupid. Al-Qaeda is affiliated in Syria, the Reuters article reads, the Nusra Front is facing mounting pressure from its own members, actually its leaders, all but one individual, to reconcile with its rival Islamic State and confront a common enemy after U.S. airstrikes hit both groups this past week. Yeah. Nusra was the only effective group fighting Assad for the past 3 years. And it wasn't until the Islamic State merged with the Iraqi Awakening Program and the Sunni warlords, the Sunni tribal leaders in Iraq, that it had a formidable foe, someone who was more successful than they. And now that the Nusra has been struck in it, alongside the Islamic State, they realize they ought not be fighting one another. They ought to be fighting their common foe. And so they are planning on merging, and actually it won't be a merger, because one entity is vastly stronger and more popular than the other. That move would require pledging loyalty, therefore, to the Islamic State, something the Reuters article gets correct, which has declared a caliphate in territory it controls in Iraq and Syria, which would effectively put an end to the Nusra Front, the commanders of the Nusra Front say. And that's true. At this point, the Islamic State, because of their merger with the American-sponsored Awakening Program in Iraq, is vastly stronger, vastly more popular. And so it would not be a merger in the sense of two equals, but instead total capitulation of Nusra. Nusra, long one of the most effective fighters. Here's where the Reuters journalist stubs his collective intelligence. It's not one of, it was the only effective force. The only effective force. Fighting President Bashar al-Assad, which of course then America weakened by bombing them. That was intelligent. Has been weakened this year by battles with the Islamic State. Now, this article says an Al-Qaeda splinter group, and that's absolutely rubbish. And they know it's rubbish. They say it because they don't want to infer that the Islamic State is, after all, Islamic. The Islamic State was never part of Al-Qaeda. It grew up at the instant America invaded Iraq. Al-Qaeda had no presence whatsoever in Iraq. Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, archenemies. And when America invaded Iraq, the handwriting was on the wall. The Sunnis knew that the Americans would turn the country over to the Shias, and they did. We just got played for fools. And so a Sunni militia was needed to confront the aggressiveness of the Shia militias. And that's when Islamic cleric Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi made the decision to form a jihadi group. It was to protect Sunni Muslims in Iraq from Shia militias while also scoring jihad points against the American crusaders in their parlance. And it grew from the Islamic State in Iraq to the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria when it found that it could gain considerable arms from Qatar while fighting Bashar al-Assad in a proxy war of Sunni versus Shia Islam in Syria, and then merged in one of the most successful, most surprising from American lack of intelligence moves in recent times, where a fundamentalist Islamic jihadist and cleric, recognized that he was eminently stronger if he could form an alliance with Muslims who had worked in what was essentially a secular government, but yet were still fundamentally Sunni Muslims. And by joining forces with the participants in the American Awakening program, what he gained was expertise on how to run cities, how to manage finances, how to trade in terms of and transport oil, how to develop sophisticated battle plans, how to maintain and operate sophisticated war materials, war weapons. He gained all of that, as well as a considerable expertise in online marketing. And that's what made them so successful. And it was that instance of that merger that a group that was essentially irrelevant outside of performing terrorist acts in Iraq became one of the most formidable forces in the world, particularly when you consider their achievements in a very short period of time. America was, of course, bewildered because we didn't recognize that our invasion of Iraq is what created the Islamic State in Iraq, and our creation of the Awakening Program is what facilitated its rapid rise. Nor did we recognize that it's when the Islamic State moved into Syria that it was armed with American weapons via its proxy, Qatar. And that it all took us by surprise because we don't think. America has a complete lack of intelligence at the governmental level, at the military level, at the political level of this country. And to a large degree, because we elect morons, the average American has lost the ability to think. You know, we have been indoctrinated in schools, devoted to political correctness. We're exercising good judgment. Differentiating between right and wrong is considered a crime. And so collectively, we've been dumbed down so that we have a nation now of dunderheads led by maniacal dunderheads. That is our plight. Reuters article says that Nusra and the Islamic State share the same ideology and rigid Islamic beliefs, as if the same ideology was different than rigid Islamic beliefs, and is as if Islamic beliefs were anything other than rigid. It's a simple statement, and yet it tells so much. There is no ideology shared by Nusra and the Islamic State other than Islam. That is the only ideology. So you could just say the two share Islamic ideology. But you can never say the two share and be accurate that the two share the same ideology and Islamic beliefs. And to quantify Islamic beliefs with rigid, as if rigid or extremist somehow differentiate real Islam from their view of Islam, and which is the intent of this, is also disingenuous. There is only one Islam. There is only one Muhammad. There's only one Quran, one Hadith. Now, yes, the Hadith are recounted in four different sources within 250 years of Muhammad's death, but all four cite the same Hadith. And the Quran itself is Hadith. It's an oral report from Muhammad and his companions. All come from the same individual at the same time, conveyed by the same people in the same way. And there's nothing more to Islam than that. And Islam is, by its own definition, rigid. It hasn't changed. That's why Islamic countries are still stuck in the 7th century. We have Glenn on the line. What do you think, Glenn?
Good morning, Yana. You know, I'm trying to think of something that compares this. Like, not perhaps since the days of, like, the Cold War domino theory fiasco. And that was nothing compared to this. Have right. I seen such a pathetic morass of contradictions and confusions and confusion, ridiculous right. theories and potential I mean, it is just, this is just absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, our justifications for war are have become pathetic, and
the confusion, the misidentification, the right. tap dancing, the equivocation, the denial—it's just unbelievable.
And the lack of responsibility.
Did you hear about Cameron's address at the UN?
No, go ahead.
Also pathetic.
Yeah, he's one of my least favorite people in the world. I think he is a genuine scumbag. That man, there are certain individuals, when I say I didn't listen to it, I'm going to tell you why I didn't listen to it, and I didn't read his comments. There are some people who I find so repulsive that I just can't bring myself to be irritated by them. And Cameron is one of those individuals. He is one of the most disingenuous, ignorant, counterproductive leaders in the world.
He and Obama are now singing out of the same hymnal, but he's taking it a step further, you know, with ambiguous allusions to extremism. But now his address at the UN was essentially an apologetic for the limitation of freedom of verbal expression. In other words, they intend to vilify anyone who expresses dissent of any kind and vilify them as potential terrorists. We've already seen hints of this here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and more than him. But,
it is the purpose of the NSA. The NSA has been established to spy on Americans to have total authority on dissent.
Well, he was clearly trying to establish a precedent for U.N. intervention to, like, impose this globally, okay? So it's mm-hmm. more than just, here it's like nationally versus, he clearly was trying to establish international precedent for being really domineering about this, you know?
Yeah. And that was the thing that was so frightening. We're going to return to the president's speech to the U.N., because when you label the foe violent extremism as opposed to Islam, what you do is you automatically sweep the connection between Islam and terrorism under the rug, which is a horrible thing to do, because now you have no clue who your enemy is, which is why America is so stupid in what it's doing. But also, you open up the opportunity to label anyone an enemy of the state who is opposed to the state. And you can be opposed to the state because the state deserves being opposed, as in the case of the Islamic State, and its response to them. And by so doing, you are now an extremist by their definition, and therefore an enemy. Returning to the Reuters article, which lies by saying the two share the same ideology and rigid Islamic beliefs, but fell out during a power struggle that pitted the Islamic State head, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, against al-Qaeda chief Ayman al-Zawahiri and al-Nusra front leader Abu Muhammad al-Golani. It is true that Golani and Zawahiri communicate and they communicate. They say nice things about one another. And it's true that that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi has never seen eye to eye with Zawahiri, never seen eye to eye with Osama bin Laden. In fact, we found in the cache of letters written between Osama bin Laden and Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, hate letters from Osama bin Laden dating back 7 or 8 years ago. They have always been on the outs. And so the two, as Muslims tend to do, vied for who was the bigger jihadist in the Syrian war. And initially it was 100% exclusively al-Nusra, which rolled up, was created as a roll-up of probably 20 independent jihadi groups. But the Islamic State was just ate them up alive in terms of appeal to jihadi Muslims. U.S.-led air and missile strikes, which have hit Nusra, as well as the Islamic State bases in Syria, have angered many Nusra members who say the West and its allies, the United States and its allies, have joined forces in a crusader campaign against Islam. That's exactly how we would have expected them to react. That's why I said that's what was going to occur. Sources close to the Islamic State said some Nusra fighters were joining them after the strikes, and there was a growing sense among many that this was time to put their differences aside. Before the strikes, thousands of Nusra jihadists joined the Islamic State. After the strikes, many hundreds more joined the Islamic State. That was predictable. It made the Islamic State vastly more powerful, and it eliminated from the Islamic State any threat that it would be attacked by its Sunni Muslim Mujahideen counterpart. That was the obvious outcome of the United States missile strikes. Islamic State becomes more popular. Islamic State siphons off Nusra jihadists, and al-Nusra ceases to be a formidable fighting force in opposition to the Islamic State. Totally counterproductive. Predictable. I predicted it. And it's what has occurred. This is a quote. There are hardline voices inside Nusra who are pushing for reconciliation with the Islamic State, a source close to Nusra's leadership told Reuters, he doubted it would happen only because I know Golani, he said. He would never reconcile with the Islamic State because he has to capitulate. However, one Islamic State fighter said he believed there was an 80% chance that the brothers and Nusra would join the Islamic State. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a British-based monitoring group, said on Friday that over 200 fighters, just since the American airstrikes had begun, had joined the Islamic State just in the northern Aleppo area, which is where the United States bombed al-Nusra. So what did the al-Nusra members do when the American bombed them? They went over to the Islamic State. Been just unbelievably counterproductive. What we did was suicidal. What we did was counterproductive. We spent money, squandered America's dominance militarily, making a foe more formidable. In an audio message posted on militant forums on Thursday, a senior figure warned Muslims against, this is a person that evidently thinks that they speak for Zawahiri, warned Muslims against joining the Islamic State. That's not having any influence on them, and called on fighters in Syria to rescue the ship of jihad and reach it before it deviates from its course. One of the things that has happened with the rise of the Islamic State is it's finally pointed out to people what I have been trying to educate America to for the last 12 years. For 12 years, I've been saying that al-Qaeda is irrelevant, that they're completely meaningless. And what you're finding now is that I was right. And it's not an issue of me trying to say, you know, for 12 years, I've been pointing out something fundamental to this equation, that the problem is Islam, not al-Qaeda. And it's not that I deserve an attaboy for getting this right. It's that America's leadership, military, political, journalistic, all deserves to be booted out of Dodge for getting it wrong. It was obvious. I don't have the $1 trillion resources that they do. And with trillions of dollars squandered, they got it wrong. One guy, simply reading the Islamic scriptural sources, got it right. And even today, now that it's been demonstrated conclusively that they got it wrong, and they still have it wrong, there isn't one of them willing to admit that they're wrong, and they're continuing to promote the same lie. Lack of accountability. Total and complete lack of intelligence. Utter and complete stupidity. That's why you ought not show your allegiance to the flag, to the office of president or senator or congressman. You ought not vote for these buffoons, and you most certainly ought not salute your military. They're all counterproductive. The message from Mohammed bin Mahoud Rabi al-Bahtiti told fighters in Syria to avoid infighting and fanaticism. And what did they do? The spokesperson for al-Qaeda says, don't join the Islamic State. What did they do? They joined the Islamic State. He said that they would build a caliphate avoiding oppression. Infidel branding the Muslims, killing the monotheists, and dispersing the rank of the Mujahideen. He said they should build a caliphate avoiding oppression. How do you build an Islamic caliphate? I mean, it just shows you that this individual, Mahmoud, is completely irrelevant in the world of Islam. There has never been an Islamic caliphate that avoided oppression. There has never been an Islamic caliphate that didn't brand infidels as worthy of death. Because those are the things that Muhammad did. That's what the Quran demands. Dispersing the rank of the Mujahideen. That's not what the Islamic State is doing. They're unifying the Mujahideen. Even before the airstrikes, Nusra was facing difficulties and was losing fighters to the Islamic State, which was seen as more organized and better able to impose Islamic rule. And that's what they both seek to do, to impose Sharia law. This goes without saying. This is a crusader war that includes all infidel nations against the Islamic State, said Nusra commander Abu Musab al-Makadesi in a voice message posted on jihadi forums online in response to a question from an Islamist about the group's reaction to the strikes. Regardless of what happened between us, they remain our brothers, and the religious bond between us is stronger than anything. We are ready to fight by their side. Our blood is their blood. This is what America created. The former Nusra fighter inside Syria said that the strikes had strengthened the Islamic position, the Islamic State's position, even further. It was obvious. Nusra is in a very difficult situation. I think it should just announce the end of itself. Now, the person saying this isn't a leader in the Islamic State. It isn't Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. It's a leading commander of jihadi forces for Nusra that's making this statement, that Nusra ought to just cease to exist and merge into the Islamic State, being part of the caliphate. It would have been impossible to make that proposal prior to America declaring war on the Islamic State, thereby elevating the prestige of the Islamic State. It is no longer like the old days. Al-Nusra needs to understand this. This is a new era with a new caliph. Yet sources from and close to both sides, said it would be difficult for the two groups to work together without merging. And with Nusra in a far weaker position, that would effectively mean being subsumed by the Islamic State. Golani does not trust Baghdadi, doesn't like his politics, but it doesn't matter. Now, it doesn't matter at all. If you don't have any mujahideen, if you lack jihadists, it's really tough to be the leader of an Islamic terrorist group. But there were fighters inside Nusra who were seen as more extreme, that wanted to make peace with the Islamic State. Everything the Islamic State is doing, Nusra has done. Nusra is engaged in beheadings. I watched them. I drew your attention to them on this program. The most vicious Nusra beheading was of two Roman Catholic priests who intervened to try to protect their nuns from being raped by Nusra jihadists. And so Nusra didn't just behead them, didn't just videotape the entire beheading process. They gathered the entire community, thousands of people, in a callous spectacle to slowly cut off the heads of these two priests, showing every gory detail, with little boys joining in the process. The idiot known as Barack Hussein Obama, class clown, was on 60 Minutes last night. And he blamed one of my least favorite people, James Clapper, for the American screw-up relative to the Islamic State. Scott, you found an article on that. Would you share the Pentagon's, the Obamanator's statement and the Pentagon's response?
Well, what Obama said was, well, I think our head of the intelligence community, Jim Clapper, has acknowledged that I think they underestimated what had been taking place in Syria. And then another news agency talked to a senior official in the Pentagon, and they responded with, either the president doesn't read the intelligence he's getting, or he's BSing. He used
the full word of bull.
He's bull pooping.
Bull pooping. Bull pooping. Yeah, well, we've got a lot of bull pooping going on in the United States. Clapper is one of my least favorite people. Clapper is the person who perjured themselves in front of Congress, saying that the United States is not doing what the revelations from Edward Snowden proved that the U.S. was doing, which is listening in on American phone calls and monitoring their clicks on the web, and that the NSA had, in effect, turned the citizens of America into its enemies and was spying on them. And Clapper, in sworn testimony to the Congress, said that that was not the case. And a matter of weeks later, Snowden revealed the proof that he was lying, and he kept his job. So he's one of my least favorite people. James Clapper also comes into the fray over Dianne Feinstein's defense of the NSA when she said a terrible attack on America was thwarted by the NSA when the NSA fingered a particular jihadist. And the jihadist that she named, David Headley, was a member of a Pakistani terrorist group. He had been convicted twice of drug running, of bringing either heroin or cocaine into the United States. And the CIA, seeing him as an honorable Muslim, employed him to spy on the Pakistani terrorist group, saying that, you know, we'll keep you from prison so long as you work for us as a double agent. At the same time, David Headley was planning the Mumbai terrorist attacks that what killed about 250 people. And both of his wives, one of which divorced him sooner than the other, both went to the FBI. The second one went directly to James Clapper when he was with the FBI and said, my husband has models of these buildings in Mumbai, and he is coordinating a terrorist attack on India being perpetrated by the very Islamic group that you are paying him as a double agent to spy on. In other words, he's taking your money and continuing to plan terrorist attacks. And the United States did not notify the Indian government that it was under siege. The terrorist attack took place, and then Dianne Feinstein went and claimed that the David Headley was a sure sign that the NSA was justified, when in fact it was his wives that ratted him out. The United States found out about him the old-fashioned way and ignored it, and the U.S. was using him as a double agent. So that's James Clapper. Here's a man who has perjured himself before Congress, a man who has who deliberately employed a drug-smuggling Muslim, got played for a fool, and then allowed a terrorist attack to take place in Mumbai, one of the worst in recent years. That's David Headley. So, as far as I'm concerned, David Headley ought to go. Now, the Abominator is lying through his teeth. The Islamic State didn't become powerful in what happened in Syria. It's not a misunderstanding of what's taking place in Syria that caused the rise of the Islamic State. It's what took place in Iraq that is responsible for the rise of the Islamic State. He doesn't even get it. I can't tell you if it's the Pentagon who won't admit their complicity in the Awakening program is the impetus for the Islamic State. I can't tell you if it's the CIA and the NSA being absolutely clueless. I can't tell you if it's the overall American fixation on the myth of Al-Qaeda being responsible for this, since the Islamic State has never had an association with Al-Qaeda, therefore it's never been recognized. But the fact is, what made the Islamic State took place in Iraq, not Syria.